Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Capitals Report on Facebook Live. John Walton, Mike Vogel with you here on this 14th of June. And we got a lot to talk about as the Capitals getting ready for the NHL draft. The Vegas Golden Knights are getting ready to go expansion route. And you know, the Caps are going to lose somebody. We'll be talking about that and answering a whole lot of your questions in the next little while or so. Let's start on a fun note, though, before we get into all that. Congratulations to Mike Knuble, a Calder Cup winner last night with the Grand Rapids Griffins, his fourth year. I remember you and I and Mike Knuble sitting in Detroit the year after he retired, and he started volunteering with Grand Rapids, and he was excited about the opportunity. Now he's been a full-time assistant there for 4 years and a championship now on his resume. Good for Knuble.
Yeah, that's good for him. And he was, I think, when you're referring to, was a few years ago, he made the trip down to see some of his old teammates, had lunch with us, and I think he was just kind of a part-time thing at that point. Yeah. He was doing something. He was involved with his kids, coaching his kids as well. But I feel like he was maybe not going on the road with the Griffins in those days. He was just sort of staying
just
at home.
Just getting started out,
He was fresh off of retiring from the NHL. He finished up in Philadelphia. But, yeah, one of the best guys we've ever encountered. And, hey, we say it all the time that this game is loaded with great guys, and it really is. But Mike Knuble, a prince among princes, if you will, and good to see him. And it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do. You know, is this something he wants to keep doing? He certainly got ahead for the game. He was, you know, one of those guys you could stand at his stall and listen to him talk for 15, 20 minutes. Really astute observer of the human condition and the hockey condition as well. So, and you know, a killer crossword guy too. A guy that we used to race in the mornings to see if we could get him done faster, and Noobs is pretty good. So, yeah, good for him, and, yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, Todd Nelson is the head coach in Grand Rapids, and last night he became just the third player, coach, assistant coach in AHL history to win a Calder Cup doing all three. One of the others, Bob Woods, did it with Hershey twice, did it as a player in Hershey, and then, of course, moving on to Washington, now in Buffalo. Get back to the business at hand here. The NHL awards ceremony coming up 1 week from today. The draft, and this guy will be heading there, going on in Chicago. The Caps, as of right now, won't pick until the fourth round. But a lot of the business of the game, now that the Stanley Cup final has been completed, you now turn toward the Vegas Golden Knights for the most part. And a lot of the discussion that we're going to hear, not just here in Washington, but throughout the National Hockey League between now and next Wednesday, is going to be, who are you going to lose, and how are you going to lose them, and how can you couch it a little bit if you're one of the other general managers? George McPhee is basically Monty Hall at this point. Let's make a deal. There's going to be a lot of them. We won't know any of them really until next week, but there will be side deals. There will be caveats in trying to position each organization. It's going to be fascinating here in the next 7 days to see how the Golden Knights are put together and how it affects every team.
Yeah, and I would expect some movement, some trades, even in the days leading up to the submission of the protected lists. On Saturday, the 17th, coming up here, there are some teams that are probably still looking to shuffle some things around within their own organizations. The Caps might be one of them in terms of trying to, like you said, Johnny, mitigate what you're going to lose or try to make things a little less appealing, perhaps, for the Vegas Golden Knights. This expansion is going to be really interesting, really different. There's a couple things in play here. Number one, it's been 17 years since the last expansion draft. That's the longest the league's ever gone between expansions. The restrictions, the rules for protection and for exposure are way, way more favorable to the Vegas Golden Knights than they were for any team ever. You go back to 1974 when the Caps came into the league, existing teams were permitted to protect two goaltenders and 15 skaters right off the hop. So at best, you're getting a team's third goaltender or its 16th best skater, which is garbage.
That's not
it's
very
garbage.
Good, no.
It's hot garbage back then, especially because you had the league had gone from 6 to 18 teams basically in the blink of an eye, and you had the World Hockey Association as well. So it set the Caps and the Kansas City Scouts up for disaster. Caps won 8 out of 80 games that year. Kansas City won 15 out of 80. Kansas City moved a couple times before it even won its first playoff series. The Caps were outside the playoffs for the better part of a decade. And when you look at really the history of NHL expansion, that's generally how it went. The average number of wins, there's 25 expansion teams that have been added to that original six. Now, the reason it doesn't add up to 32 is because, if you remember, there was a team that actually contracted. The league went from 18 to 17 in the late 70s when the Cleveland Barons and the Minnesota North Stars merged. So the 25 previous expansion teams, the average number of wins in that first season is just 23. 23, 45, and 11. And the reason that doesn't add up to 80 is because some teams had 74, 76, 78 games their first season. Some teams had 84, some had 80. There's not a uniform amount of games played there. But when you look at what Vegas is going to be picking here, teams can only protect 11 players. Mm-hmm. They're going to get somebody's eighth best forward, conceivably, somebody's fourth best defenseman, somebody's second best goaltender. The other thing is when Columbus and Minnesota came in back in 2000, 2001, they drafted a total of 26 players. Vegas is getting 30. You don't need 30 players, as you well know. You can only dress 20. You can only carry 23. So George McPhee is, for him, it's just about pulling in assets, drafting as many good players with value somewhere around the league as he can, and try to build a team for sure. But the way it's stacked up is there's not a lot available for him up front, which seems strange when we talk mm-hmm. all the time about how hard it is to get a defenseman via the trade route in this league. He's going to have a ton of good defensemen to choose from, and I would be willing to bet that most of the at-large players he drafts, because he's got to take 14 forwards, 9 defensemen, 3 goaltenders. That's 26. Those extra 4 players can be any position. I'd be willing to bet they're all going to be defensemen or goaltenders, just because that's where the value is in this draft, and those are the players he's going to be able to flip. But the Vegas team is going to be in position to succeed faster than any other expansion team in league history. And I got to think there's another team coming just a few years down the road. We had news recently that Seattle's going to try to revamp its arena that's been in existence mm-hmm. Since 1962 with the eye towards getting an NHL team perhaps as early as 2020. That would even the league up 16 in the West, 16 in the East. All things being equal, no other teams moving elsewhere between now and then. So it's a real fascinating time, really, for the league as it prepares for its centennial season in 17-18. And the next week or so is going to be interesting, because it'll be a week from today that the Vegas team is unveiled. And this is the time of year. We alluded to it a couple weeks ago when we did this show. This is the time of year when rosters are built, championship teams are built, and there's 31 GMs out there that are trying to do that right now.
A lot of what you're going to see, too, and it's going to be a moving target, even in the war room in Nevada, they're not really going to know until things start falling into place. And one of those things could very well be who is going to get moved because of salary cap restrictions. We had a question that came in from Dave off Twitter. What teams do you expect to be the most active at the draft? A lot of that has to do with Vegas, too, because you're trying to get under the cap. We're looking at you, Chicago. You've got a team where you've got at $77 million right now, and the hot rumor has been Marcus Kruger's got to go, and how do you do it, much like they did with Carolina a year ago? You want to get rid of Brian Bickle's contract, you got to move to Teravainen. Will it be Marcus Kruger and Trevor Van Riemsdyk going there? There's going to be deals like that as they are done or getting done or however, whatever that timeline is, and the chronological order of it, it's going to be pretty interesting, because the teams that are going to be the most active in this stretch, you're definitely going to want to look at who the teams that are going to unload stuff. And it's not just Chicago. I got like Matt Molson in Buffalo, too. And there are going to be other situations like that. If you're interested, you got a chance to make a deal and improve in other ways, not just the expansion draft.
Well, and one of the things is that the Vegas team does have to draft some salary. They've got to come in within 60 to 100% of the cap figure from last season. They also have to draft 20 players who are under contract for this season, so they can't just draft a bunch of RFAs and UFAs. That said, too, though, I think if Vegas were to take a UFA from any team, that team would probably be pretty thankful for that, not losing a player that Kevin Shattenkirk, for example. If Vegas had designs on Kevin Shattenkirk, I think the Caps would would be the best case scenario for Washington, in that would count as the player the Caps lose, and he's a guy that Washington's highly unlikely to re-sign anyway for mostly monetary reasons. So, like you said, John, George McPhee has, I'm sure, talked to all 30 GMs. There's a little dance going on where the teams are like, yeah, this is kind of what we're thinking you're going to like from our roster. And George is, you know, kind of guarding his cards a little bit, too. And they're trying to figure out how can we make each other happy here. And like you said, Chicago's one of those teams that I'm sure is trying to work something out. You can add Anaheim, you can add Columbus to those lists as well. The New York Rangers might be one. The Rangers are a team. They've got to find a way, either sign a guy, a forward to get under contract, or risk exposing a guy like Michael Grabner, who I think Vegas would jump all over. Despite the fact that, hey, Nick Holden's a nice, attractive piece that New York could be exposing, as is Antti Raanta, backup goaltender. So I think the Rangers, the Caps, are going to be a team that's going to be probably exposing an ideal piece at each position, forward, defense, and goaltender. And Washington's in the same boat where, you know, you've got to expose two forwards who played at least 40 last year or 70 the last 2 years and are under contract. You get down to it, Lars Eller and Jay Beagle would have to be exposed right now. The only way the Caps can get around that is to sign, say, Brett Connolly between now and Saturday, expose Connolly, pull back Eller. Certainly could lose Connolly in that event, too, again, given the dearth of scoring that's available to the Golden Knights out there. The other option is for the Caps to make a move. Trade someone, trade a pick, trade a prospect, trade a roster player for a forward that meets those requirements, bring him in and expose him. So there's a lot that could happen. I'm actually surprised we haven't seen much of those sorts of roster shuffling back and forth so far. Still got a few days. These guys tend to wait till the last minute.
I would think the next couple of days you're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, I got to think so.
Vlad asking a question about Connolly, and I think we just answered that, at least as far as whether or not Connolly could be a guy that's signed. Yeah, could be, but could take a number of different ways there. Ronnie off Twitter asking, a realistic date that we'll know if Oshie will be re-signed. Well, before July 1 would be good, but anytime after that, he could definitely leave, and we'll be finding that out with you, I suppose. But I guess that comes down to, and again, a question from Paul that kind of ties in with this too. Given the tight salary cap projection, also lack of higher round draft picks this year, would Ryan McClellan be apt to make a trade? Someone on the roster, he says, Marcus Johansson, John Carlson, to clear space to re-sign Oshie and beef up the 17 draft with more selections. It's possible. I don't know how likely. I mean, you're talking about a bigger deal at that point, and it's such a volatile time with Vegas and expansion. It's tough to make trades right now, not to mention there's going to be a freeze coming up here for a few days, too, where you're not going to be able to do anything one after Saturday.
Right. There's a freeze that's going to start Saturday and go through Wednesday, I believe. And the thing is, you know, usually at this time of year, if you've got a handful of players, as the Caps do, in Justin Williams, TJ Oshie, Kevin Shattenkirk, Carl Alsner, Daniel Winnick, unrestricted free agents. A lot of times this year, teams might flip you a draft pick for the rights to negotiate with that guy exclusively between now and July 1st when he officially becomes unrestricted. But those kind of trades aren't likely to happen again because it's an expansion summer. So where the Caps may have rather organically pulled in some draft pick assets in scenarios such as that, any other year, it's not going to happen. It's very unlikely to happen this year. If it does happen, it will happen probably after all the dust settles from the expansion. And the other thing is, I'm not sure this is the year you want to go adding a bunch of draft picks. Most people will tell you that this year's draft class is fairly ordinary, especially once you get past the first 20 or so picks. So unless the Caps are somehow going to pull a pick in the top 15 or so in the first round, which is again, highly unlikely. I'm not sure that this is a year you want to start, you know, adding picks in the middle of the draft, third, fourth, fifth rounds. You'd be better off doing that probably for the 18, 19 drafts if you're looking to restock the pantry. I think you just take your medicine this year and just accept the fact that, hey, we're picking in the fourth round. If something falls in our lap, second, third round or something like that, okay, fine, but I don't know that that this is a year to get all bent out of shape about not having those picks.
All right, so here's where the rubber meets the road. How's this going to affect Washington, and what might we see when we are all tuned in to NBCSN next Wednesday and the team is unveiled? A question that kind of leads us that direction coming from Michael. With Fleury waiving his no-trade clause, no-movement clause, actually, do you think that we have a better chance to keep Groovy? How about maybe? But here's the thing. Here are the goalies that are available. Let's just throw a few names out here. Fleury is a big one. Do they draft him? Almost certainly. Do they keep him? Well, that's another question. Do they? How many goalies do they end up taking is another, as Vogues had talked about a moment ago. You've got Detroit, where you've got Mrazek and Howard sitting there. Mm-hmm. So you've got somebody that's very available there. Jonas Korpisalo in Columbus just signed a very friendly contract for a two-year deal with Columbus. Linus Olmark just did the same thing with Buffalo. They've got to be candidates, and they're budget-friendly as well. You mentioned Antti Raanta. There's no question he's in the mix. Grubby's in the mix. I don't think there's any doubt that he could be a guy picked. Even when you hear some of those other names, Dave Pryor is a goaltending coach there, George McPhee, they obviously know who he is. But you have to start at least looking other places on the Washington roster when you start looking at those goalies and going, okay, do they pick four? At most, even if they're spinning guys, you're probably looking five. There's five pretty good goalies right there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. But come next Wednesday, does it keep the chance that Groovy could be here? Yeah, but if that's the case, who are they going to lose at that point?
Look, going forward for this season, Vegas is going to need the two goaltenders that it's going to have on its NHL roster. Maybe a good, solid third guy to park in the minors somewhere, and then maybe a development guy down low. But you're not going to get that development guy in the expansion draft. You'll sign him, you'll draft him, something like that. So really, Vegas, they have to take the three goalies. Those are probably the three that they'll have or that they'll keep. But they can add a few more. Goaltenders are going to have some value, especially the backups. There are going to be some teams that are going to be in need of backup goaltenders after they lose their guy. Korpisalo, perhaps. Grubauer, perhaps. Raanta, perhaps. So there's, again, it's about accumulation of assets, but it's also a puzzle because you have to take one player from each team. Maybe the goaltender is the best player from a certain team, but maybe there's a more attractive asset out there on a team that has a good goaltender. But even Pittsburgh, I mean, Ian Cole could be available. Brian Dumoulin could be available. Maybe one of those guys has more value to you. And what if a team were to come to George McPhee and say, hey, we really like Brian Dumoulin. You draft him, we'll give you this for him.
There's going to be stuff like that.
Yeah, there's going to be stuff. So it's not necessarily, and this is the same with Grubauer, too, where it looks like, sure, yeah, there's all kinds of reasons, the Pryor and the McPhee connections to Grubauer, there's all kinds of reasons why it makes sense. Nobody will be surprised if Grubauer goes to Vegas. But really, again, if the Caps aren't able to add another forward and they do have to expose Eller, I could absolutely see Vegas taking Lars Eller. I think he'd be a perfect guy for an expansion team. He's got a great work ethic. I think he'd be a great foundation-type player to start your franchise with. Nate Schmidt would be a great addition to that team.
Ago.
And I'm telling you, there are going to be – George should be – he may draft a dozen defensemen and start flipping them around the league too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see how this comes out because – there are going to be a lot of good defensemen and goaltenders available, but not so much forward. So it's going to be a challenge for George to pull the assets in and get them there and then sort of massage them a little bit so that he can build an actual team that he can put on the ice come October.
Yeah, without a doubt, there's going to be a lot of horse trading going on. Got a couple other things that we got cooking here off Facebook. David asking why I didn't get down to Charleston this year. We were there 2 years ago. James Heuser and I were both there. The Rays had a great season. Too bad the Stingrays ran into Colorado there at the end, but didn't quite make it there this time, but certainly want to try and get back there in the future. Love North Charleston. That's in Charleston there, it's pretty great stuff. Doug asking about Madison Bowie and the potential of making the opening night lineup, and somewhat related to that, Aaron also asking who from Hershey do you think will be in Washington next season? I think a lot of that's going to be dictated by what happens here in the next 7 days or so, and then who you end up losing. If it's a Philip Grubauer that heads to Vegas, Phoenix Copley's got a pretty good chance. If it's a defenseman, if it's Nate Schmidt, you're looking at Lewington, Bowie, Juice, yep. Probably your three leading contenders there, and all have, you know, I think different skill sets depending on what you're looking for. You know, I don't think any of those three are very similar. They all have different, Juice more offensive.
Yeah, for sure.
Bowie a little more physical, you know, Lewington too. But I think those would probably be your leaders in the clubhouse. And then you've got guys up front, like Chandler Stephenson for sure. Depending on how the fourth line looks.
I think Stevenson, Nathan Walker, and Christian Juice are the guys that are the leaders in the clubhouse right now. Part of it has to do with the fact that they would require waivers to go back to Hershey. So certainly they're not going to be gifted anything. They're going to have to earn their way onto the roster and earn their way into some playing time. But they do have a little bit of a leg up just from an asset management standpoint. Summer after you lose an asset in an expansion draft, I don't think you're going to necessarily want to be trying to push a bunch of guys down to the, if you like these players, you're not going to want to be trying to push a bunch of guys down to Hershey that have to go through waivers to get there. I think given the fact that 30 teams lost a player this summer, there's going to be there may be more of a tendency to say, hey, let's claim this guy if you happen to like a player off someone else's roster. And kind of along the same lines, I don't think it would be surprised to anyone to see Stanislav Galiev wind up in Vegas. Gerard Gallant was his coach in junior hockey in the Quebec League, and Stan's looking for a fresh start. He's a guy who's shown in the American Hockey League an ability to score some goals, especially on the power play. And as we've been saying all along, This Vegas team is going to be hard pressed to find offense from anywhere. So why not roll the dice on a guy like Stan?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a fair thing, and that was even one of the reasons, if we think back to why Galiev was on the roster as long as he was 2 years ago, because they were afraid Gerard Gallant might take him in Florida.
For sure,
so, definitely a possibility there. Alexandra asking, when will we know who the Caps are exposing? I don't know if we know. It is Sunday, so the lists are all out Sunday. They start Sunday morning. The 72-hour window starts Sunday morning. They got to be done Wednesday morning in Vegas. They submit their final list, and then it'll be announced Wednesday night. But so the lists will all be known Sunday, and you'll know exactly what every team's up against Sunday morning, and it's public at that very moment.
That's my understanding. Sometime on Sunday that they'll be made public,
Okay, so that's... I guess you'll have a pretty good idea. Although I think when you look at Washington, I think we've got a pretty good idea. The only thing
pretty
that we
idea.
Don't know is the forward situation.
We definitely know the goaltending and the defense. I mean, that's cut and dried. You know who they're going to protect in net. You know who they're going to protect on the blue line. It's just a matter of, does Connolly sign between now and Saturday? Do the Caps, if he does not, do the Caps find a way to add a forward who meets those requirements that they can expose and pull Eller back as their seventh forward?
There was a report, and just kind of throwing this against the wall in the non-expansion version here, as we get up toward the end of June and the beginning of free agency on July 1, a lot of talk about TJ Oshie. We had it here on the show 2 weeks ago. Does he sign? Brian McClellan even said, you know, they're talking. Justin Williams is still talking, too, and thinking it kind of interesting that if you get down toward the end of the month and you figure out a little bit better where you are a week from now post-expansion, obviously, if you're Brian, you're talking with everyone here. Different degrees of interest, to be sure. But if you are looking and seeing that, okay, TJ is going to, maybe it takes 6 years and 6 million, I'm just throwing stuff on a wall, whatever it is. But whatever that number is, whatever the term is, he just turned 30, you're trying to figure out, you know, is he your guy until he's 35, 36, or whatever it is. And if not, a guy like Justin Williams, you're not going to have nearly as much term there either. He's more or less at the end, and a guy who obviously was very important to this team. Could there be a situation where you say, okay, maybe it isn't TJ, but maybe there is somebody, and you look at a leader like Justin, very interested of being in the area perhaps and maybe still staying here. Maybe he is a guy who may kind of come in the back door. When everyone was looking at TJ and said, oh, maybe that's the only free agent, you could see a scenario where there could be one of those other guys.
No, for sure. I think, you know, and again, we don't know what sort of moves are going to happen vis-a-vis the rest of the roster either, as far as, and the final piece, the maybe the most important piece, we should know late next week, and that would be the unveiling of the actual firm salary cap figure for the 17-18 season. I would expect that probably on Thursday of next week. Expect probably schedules to come out around then, too, for the upcoming season. So a lot to look forward to here in the next 7 or 8 days. But that cap figure is going to have a lot to do with, you know, how much wiggle room do the Caps have to sign Oshie, Williams, whomever. And, of course, they're probably going to try to nail down those restricted free agents first, because you kind of need to know what Kuznetsov, Orlov, Schmidt, if he's still here, Burakovsky, what those guys' numbers are going to be before you, so that you know what you have left over,
yes,
with which to work on Oshie and Williams. And again, the clock's ticking, because it's not like you can go to those guys and say, hey, hold off, we're trying to get these guys signed. As we've seen, sometimes these things go to arbitration. That doesn't happen until late July, early August. I don't expect T.J. Oshie or Justin Williams to sit around and wait for the Caps to have their...
Orlov was September, was he not?
he was restricted free agent. But yeah, I mean, every year you're going to have some of those restricted guys that aren't signed when camp opens up around the league. There's going to be a handful of those guys. It's nail biting time for sure for a lot of GMs, because they've got you're trying to fit 8 pounds of stuff into a 7 pound bag in terms of the salary cap, and you need as much room as you can possibly get. So I think these guys are all hoping that the cap goes up to 77 or so, which is the high end of the figures we've heard cited, and 74 is probably the low end, and those $3 million can make a lot of difference.
Before we go, a little bit of a chat about what goes on next week, and once the awards are done, the NHL draft is coming. Mike will be there for that. This is not going to necessarily be the most exciting draft in Capitals history, only because of where the draft picks are, in fact, there. So by the time you get to the fourth round, give me your thumbnail sketch on what you're expecting from a Caps perspective in Chicago.
Well, I think it's easy. At that point, it's best player available. You look, the Caps history is upside. Draft guys that have some upside that you can maybe hit a home run with. I think the Caps in years past have a lot of times will identify a guy who maybe is coming off a lesser season for whatever reason. Maybe he was injured. Maybe there was a trade. Maybe he was unhappy in his situation. A guy like Connor Hobbs is a good example. He was traded mid-season of his draft year. Didn't have numbers that were necessarily that impressive, which is why he was available in the fifth round. The Caps expend a pick on him. He blossoms thereafter. Beck Malenstein's a good example last year. A guy who looked like potentially a bottom six type of a guy, and then he goes out and has a great offensive season. He's still obviously got a lot of work to do, but that's what you want. You want guys with upside, guys who have the ability to show better than what they have so far, which is the reason that they're still going to be available when you finally have your picks in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. So I think that's got to be the Caps' MO. Just find guys that you think have upside, that you think can maybe play pro at someday. Because again, remember, the draft is not necessarily about finding NHL talent. Ideally, yes, that's what you want. And if you can draft one or two guys every year that become NHL regulars, you can sustain. But when you're picking that low, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to expect any team drafting as low as the fourth round for its first pick to pull two NHL regulars out. You go back to 2011, the Caps didn't have a pick until the fourth round that year. They picked four players. One of them has a chance. That's Travis Boyd. The rest of those three guys are out of the picture now. So I think that's got to be your MO. Just find guys where there's opportunity. Because, again, even if Travis Boyd doesn't make it to the NHL, and I fully expect he'll at least get a look, and the rest is up to him, but you do have to stock your farm system. Mm-hmm. So when people look at guys who don't make it to the NHL as quote unquote maybe a failure, But that's not necessarily the case, especially if you were drafted late in the draft. There's a lot of guys out there who are pretty happy to spend 4 or 5 years doing what they love, even if they don't make it to the NHL, to play in the American Hockey League for several seasons is a pretty good feather in your cap and something to be proud of. And that's something that not a lot of people get to do.
Here on the show, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, right smack dab in the middle of development camp. Folks will be in Chicago next week for the draft, so you can see that coverage here. A couple of housekeeping things before we leave you today. The Rooftop Bourbon and Cigar event that is being held in partnership with Monumental Sports and Entertainment, that's coming up on Monday, June 26th, before we are back here for the show. 7 to 10 p.m. at the W Hotel Rooftop. It's at 15th Street Northwest. In D.C., so if you're interested in doing that, a lot of players are going to be there, live silent auctions, Caps alumni. You got the Caps alumni game coming up during development camp on that Tuesday as well. If you are not able to see it live at Kettler, we will have the game for you on CSN, and I say we because I am involved in that as well. Joe Beninati on the call with me and Courtney Laughlin going to be doing sideline at that. We are miking up Craig Laughlin and Alan May, so parental discretion advised probably on that one, but coming up on Tuesday that week, right as we get on June 27th, we've got that going on, which will be a lot of fun as well. But have fun in Chicago. Yeah. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks on the Capitals Report.